Hi, and thanks for downloading this latest Glasgow's Green episode. On the pod here, we've got Ulrich Lawson, who joined from Hibs in 2002. Ulrich spent 3 years at Celtic before leaving to join Odense, and here he is talking about his memories in Scotland, specifically with Celtic, but also with Hibs, and he talks about his career as a physiotherapist after football as well. He's brutally honest, and I hope you enjoy this. Thanks. Okay, it's another Glasgow's Green Cult Hero special, and it's myself, Stevie, and I'm joined on the phone by Ulrich Lawson, who's the third Danish person we've had on the show. Ulrich, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Excellent.
Enjoying the Danish winter. And how, finally arrived, so...
How cold is it then?
Oh, it's not that cold, it's just... Well, minus 2, 3, 4 degrees, but finally have snow finally arrived, so the kids are happy and playing in the snow, but I'm guessing they won't be here for long.
And you're now a physio, is that right?
Yes. I've been working for 3.5 years now. Used to work in a big clinic until... started this year where I started my own small clinic, so I'm trying to build. So I'm quite excited and looking forward to finally doing what I want to do and not doing what everybody else wants me to do.
Sounds good, Ulrich. How long have you had your own clinic for?
Well, I started my own clinic here just start January. I've still had my... the way you can do it here in Denmark is you can have your own business, but you can sort of rent yourself into another business. But then you have to do maybe 50% of what they want you to do and not completely what you want to do. So now I just wanted to be on my own, and that's why I started a small place, really small place. But I like it, and it gives me a great thrill.
And do you get a lot of current football players and ex-football players coming to see you?
I've had a few of my old teammates as clients already. But mainly it's just normal working man or woman. I do have a lot of younger athletes, handball players, football players. It's fixing them and coaching them as well, because they need a bit of guidance as well, and I've been in the game, so I might as well use that as well.
Okay, well, talking about football, and specifically yourself, Ulrich, how did the move come about when you transferred to Hibs then? Who instigated that, and was it a surprise to you at the time?
I got a phone call from a Danish guy who I didn't know, who's very interested in Scottish football and English football, and he said that one of his friends, McLeese, a guy called Alex McLeese, was quite interested in signing me, and he told me he came to a game in Copenhagen to watch me play, and I spoke to McLeese afterwards, and... I've told my club in Denmark that I didn't want to sign a new contract, so I just wanted to try something else, and McLeese brought me to Edinburgh, and I looked at Hibs as a club and Edinburgh as a city and thought, why not? This is a great place to go and see whatever happens, and luckily something more happened than I expected.
Well, you joined that Hibs team, and it was a pretty decent Hibs team, I have to say. There was Frank Soze, there was Russell Lappe, you had Matthias Jack as well, Didier Agat was there when you joined, and Mark Libra. That Hibs team finished third that season, and it was a pretty successful season for Hibs as well. And at that time, did you ever see yourself moving on from Hibs, or did you think you could actually stay for a few seasons and possibly challenge Celtic and Rangers?
I was reasonable enough to think that it would be really hard to challenge the Old Firm clubs at that time, because there was still a lot of money in the Old Firm clubs and they had a lot of good experienced players, so I knew it would be hard. Mm-hmm. And the hard thing as well is to keep the same players in a small club. Well, Didier left after, half a year. I left after 2 years. So it's always hard to keep the better players and the squad together. So I never looked at Hibs as a big challenger, but I mean, we're all in to win it, and we might as well try to go for it, all of us. But the important games when you play for Hibs is not against Celtic and Rangers. It's against the other teams you have to win, because that's what Rangers and Celtic do as well.
Mm-hmm. And before you left Hibs, one of the big games that you had was the 2001 Scottish Cup final. Now, one of my friends, yeah, Duncan Mackay, he is a massive Hibs fan, and he wanted me to ask you the question, what was the atmosphere like for Hibs going into that game? Because Russell Latapy was out injured, and you were up against a Celtic team that were really going for the treble, and they were heavily favourites. What was the atmosphere like for the Hibs team at the time?
It was a great experience that we all enjoyed. You know, the week up to the final, and we didn't really think of Celtic as a big favourite. We just looked. You know, it's a cup final; everything can happen. It could have been us who scored the first goal, and then Celtic had to chase us, and then we would have the advantage. But we always so knew if Celtic scored one or two goals, that it would be really hard. And at that time, Henrik was really, well, for 2-3 years, he was really at the top of his game. So he was quite a mouthful. Great player. So it was a deserved victory for Celtic that day. But after the final, we still looked at our achievements at Hibs and thought, It was a good game, and it was a good cup season, and it was a good season in all, so we were happy.
Okay. Well, a couple of seasons later after that, you eventually joined Celtic for $1.5 million. And what was the story about how you joined Celtic then? Did Martin O'Neill speak to you specifically, or was it through agents? What actually happened there?
Well, I knew there was a bit of interest because Hibs renewed my contract, so obviously I knew there was some interest, but I wasn't really interested in moving anywhere because we had a nice life in Edinburgh, and we bought a beautiful house, and we had our friends close by, so I wasn't really looking at going anywhere. But then I heard that obviously McLeish wanted me to sell to Rangers, and an agent told me that O'Neill wanted me to Celtic, so it's not every day that both Old Firm clubs wants to sign you. But I spoke shortly to Martin O'Neill, but that's just mainly just a commercial stunt for the manager to phone you that he's interested, because obviously he's interested when they're making a bid for you. I thought the Celtic was a better club for me at that time. I thought the team was better, the players were better. So that's why I chose Celtic. And I enjoyed more playing against Celtic than I did Rangers. So that's why I chose the club.
Obviously, that season as well, it was so, so, so eventful. You had the 2002-2003 season. It was one of the most memorable as a fan for me as well, and for many others, but we ended up with nothing.
Yeah.
Obviously, the next season we made up for it. In that match, in that season, you had obviously the 2003 UEFA Cup final. What was your main memories from that match as well?
The whole week up to the game, the fans, the family. I mean, one of the biggest memories is my dad walking away from the training area with tears in his eyes because he never thought that his son would be in a game like this. That's probably the biggest memory I have of that period. Just to experience and for me to give my parents something back because they've been driving me around Denmark for God knows how many years to play football. So I was really proud to sort of give them that experience. And when it came to the game, it all went by so quickly. And obviously I was mostly disappointed about not saving the ball for the 3-2 goal. But it took a small deflection of Rab Douglas, which just caught me by surprise. And it just shows there's a thin line between success and failure. Mm-hmm. I could have been a hero if I would have saved that ball and we probably would have won the game. But it wasn't meant to go that way. And that's just the way of being a footballer. If you put your neck on the line, things can go good or things could go bad.
Yeah, I'll never forget that because, as you say, it was just like a small touch off Rab Douglas and the ball went over you. There was nothing, yeah. I don't know if you could do about it. It was just one of those things. But
I must say that even though I had a lot of games the first season at Celtic, I always knew if Johan was back, I would be on the bench again. My second season, there was a lot of personal stuff that happened. My dad had a heart attack. My wife had a miscarriage. I was injured quite a lot. My shoulder injury kept me out for 4 months. So it was a really bad season. And so the third season I was there, I was just really relaxed because I thought that things couldn't get any worse. And that's probably around Christmas time where I played probably the best I've played for Celtic. Well, that's just my thoughts, but I just relaxed and thought I did quite well at that time. And obviously, when you started to play with four in the defense rather than three, and I'm more used to playing four rather than three in the defense, and that helped me out quite a lot as well.
When you were playing in the defense as well, under Martin O'Neill, was there any of the partnerships that you actually preferred playing with, or could you just slot in anywhere?
I always wanted to play a back four with me and Josvald Haren in the middle, and then Jackie on the right and somebody else on the left, because me and Jos had a good understanding of where we wanted each other and what we could do to help each other. Where Bobo, he was more like a big, strong defender, and he could take care of himself. But I need a partner beside me. I don't need some guy who can take care of himself. But Bobo did well, and he did well with the skills that he had. So no bad feelings there. He did well.
Was there anyone who you played against in Scotland when you were there at Celtic that you thought, you know, you really did have a hard time against them, and you thought, well, that you actually would prefer Bobo to be playing alongside you up against them?
I would actually say the worst player I've played against was when I played at Hibs, when I played against Chris Sutton. He was a very bad match for me. He sort of knew everything that I wanted to do, and he had almost everything I did. He had a strategy to ruin it. So he was terrible to play against, and he was terrible playing one against one in training as well. Terrible, but I kept on doing it because I thought that at one stage I would figure him out, and then. And I would be on the top, but I never managed to do that in my career.
All right. When you were playing for Celtic, was there any other opponent in particular that you just thought was an absolute nightmare to play against?
Obviously, we played against Chelsea in Seattle. Mm-hmm. I think we lost 4-2 or something like that. And I played up against Joe Cole. At that time, that wasn't the funniest game either.
Right. Well, when you left in the summer of 2005, when Gordon Strachan arrived, were you told right away that you would probably have to believe in the club, or did you get the chance to stay on but decided that you would go back to Denmark?
No, it was actually Gordon was quite fair when he came to the club. I must say, I wasn't the happiest person about the way O'Neill did. I mean, the way he was a manager. I thought of him differently before I came, but, you know, he's a manager for a big club and he's doing it his way, and you just have to accept that. At the end of the day, you get your wages to play football, so you just sometimes just have to shut up and play football. But I actually thought when Strachan came that he would probably be a better manager for me than Martin was. But at that time, Strachan told me that he wanted some of his own players in, but he wanted to give me a fair chance staying on the team. And we had a few tests when he came, a few physical tests, and he was actually quite pleased with my physical tests and the way I've handled the pre-season. But then an offer came from my club here in Denmark, in Odense, my old club, and they really wanted me back to start something new, because they haven't won any medals for quite some time, and they've been struggling for quite some time, and they thought that I could probably help them. And my wife had just given birth to our first son, so I thought, well, maybe it's a good time to leave Scotland now, so my son can grow up with his grandparents and my family. So that's why we moved back. But looking back, I'm actually quite sad I didn't stay on for maybe one more year, because I think I could have proven Strachan that I should have played rather than one of the players he brought in.
Well, one of the fanzines called Not The View, I think they did an article, and they were a bit unhappy that you were let go when we could have actually done with you that season, because it was a massive transition. When you went back to Odense as well, you came up against your former team Hibs, didn't you, in 2005?
Yes.
What was that like, getting back to Easter Road so quickly after leaving Scotland as well?
That was magic. It was I couldn't believe it when we first drew them in the Intertotal Cup, and going back to Edinburgh was very emotional for me. The club asked me where we wanted to stay, so I told them that, I can't remember what the hotel's name now, but it's a hotel close to the airport with a golf course. And I said, well, that would be a great place to stay. So we went there, and we decided to stay one day after the game so we could, if we progressed from the to the next stage, we could go out and celebrate. But obviously, if we wouldn't have done it, we wouldn't have celebrated at all. We just stayed at the hotel. But going back was very emotional. Both playing the game, but also taking a taxi going back to my old house and walking around in the area. And I must say, I was very emotional at that time. I've been very happy for my time in Scotland and my time 5 years living in Edinburgh. It's a beautiful city.
So, see, when you were at Celtic, did you still live in Edinburgh then?
Yes, right. Yes. Okay. Because we bought a house a year after I arrived to Scotland, and we totally renovated it. And I thought it wouldn't have been nice to tell my wife to move to Glasgow where she didn't have any friends.
Right.
So that's why we stayed in Edinburgh.
You've been out in Edinburgh and you've been out in Glasgow. I'm going to assume that Edinburgh is your favourite then?
Yeah, well, I was actually in Glasgow. Was it in October or so? I was in Glasgow for the Biffy Clyro concert, and Celtic played Aberdeen. And I tried to contact the club to get some tickets, but I don't know. I don't know if I got hold of the wrong persons, but they wanted, not that I don't want to pay for the tickets, but I thought, well, surely they could give us 5 tickets, but they didn't want to give us any tickets, so we went to the Patrick Fizzle game against Hearts instead.
Not bad. What was the score?
Well, we left half time. Quite boring game, so I don't even know how it ended.
Right. All right. And now, was that when was the last time then that you were in Edinburgh?
When we played Hibs.
All right. So it was back in 2005 then?
Yeah.
And I guess finally now, after all this and after football, is your future career now just to look to, you know, targeting on your physiotherapy and just take it from there?
Yeah. Well, I've never been a real footballer. And to understand that saying is that I've never been the guy who sits and watches Champions League or other games. It's never been my interest. I've just enjoyed playing the games and taking part of the games. It's 6 years since I stopped my career. I've been to the stadium here 3 times in 6 years. So for me, it's very important just to have my new career where I can help people in a different way. I can use some of my experience using my body through football, but most of it is brand new, and I'm enjoying being in deep water sometimes, trying to figure something out.
Well, all I can say is, Ulrich, that I think myself and everyone else associated with Celtic would wish you all the best for your future.
Yes, thank you. And I know I said in the previous interviews that I wasn't happy at my time in Celtic, but that's not true. I was just unhappy with some of the players who I thought were disrespectful disrespectful to the fans. You might not have seen it, but I see him in the dressing room and I see him talking about other people and how they act. But some of the big stars, they weren't worthy of how much the fans liked them, because they didn't appreciate what big a club Celtic is and how big a family club it is. I mean, the people working around Celtic, I have a massive respect for the people handling the press, kit manager, everybody. They put in a massive job, and biggest respect goes out to them. And it's a shame at that time there was sort of like the team was one unit, and then the fans were a different unit. I think we could have lifted it a bit more if a lot of the players would have appreciated the club and the passion from the fans a bit more.
As you said earlier, Ulrich, it is what it is, and you know, when you look at Celtic now, and you know, you look at the direction we're going, I think it's all worked out okay regardless. And I don't think there's any supporter that doesn't, you know, appreciate all the effort that you and the rest of the guys all put in through that Seville run and
no. The
years after that, and especially in 2004-05, and I think you'll always be well regarded by us.
But it was a great memory to play for so many fans, and going, no matter where we went, there was always Celtic fans. And I always tell the story about was it close to 100,000 Celtic fans going to Seville, and not a single one of them got arrested. And who can say that they brought 100,000 fans without making any trouble? Nobody can say that. We went to Blackburn with 25,000, and only 12,000 could stay at the stadium, and the rest of them stayed outside. It's massive, and that has really moved me, touched me a lot, that so many fans travel without knowing that they can watch the game. They just want to be part of the party. That's probably the funniest thing and the biggest thing, thinking back on, that people really take this seriously.
It's amazing to hear you say that, and it's great to know that the players as well appreciated that. And I think people listening to this will really, really have, you know, that'll touch them as well, because it's great to hear those sort of things from players.
Yeah, but it's there, it's your fault that we can make a living of playing football. If you weren't interested in it, we wouldn't get paid. So I think we all should appreciate the fans. And sometimes when you lose games, it's hard to have fans, because obviously you want to win and we want to win. And if things are not going well for you as a player, then sometimes you go inside yourself and you make a fence around yourself and you say it's the fans or it's something else. But now it's 6 years since I've played, and obviously I'm thinking that maybe some of the things I said were probably more because I was hurting, because I wasn't doing well. But that's just the way it happens.
Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks also go to Ulrich for recording with us, especially after putting his kids to bed just 5 minutes before the recording. And we're pleased to say that we got in touch with Celtic, and so did Ulrich, and I think he's going to be getting compo tickets at some point in the future to make up for not getting them in that Aberdeen game that he spoke about. So keep an eye out for us on the Twitter feed, or just subscribe to us on iTunes, and you'll not miss our next pod. Hail, hail.